Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Your official station to talk New York Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Wakanda! Welcome!
Big shout of the night is brought to you by WFAN and me, Keith McPherson, Bright Lights, Big City. We got a bunch of big shots. But tonight, the big shot of the night goes to JD. That's what Boone calls him. Jason Dominguez. Embrace the Martian. Jason Dominguez goes out there tonight and has a night after, you know, 2 nights ago, he flashed the glove. 2 nights ago, he had everybody talking about his defense. And so Brendan Cuddy put out a video of him around 4 p.m. in the stadium working on that defense again. And I just appreciate a young guy that has put in the work, has blocked out the noise, and even the Yankees who decided he's going to play left field. We're not going to move him. He's going to learn how to play left field. He's got the athleticism. He's got the work ethic. It's going to work out. It's going to be fine. We're not going to bench this guy. We're going to let him keep swinging and figuring it out. And he has, man. He goes 3-for-3, single, single, and then a bases clearing double. And, you know, he brings the Yankees back tonight, and then he loses his contacts and comes out of the game. And it seems like a smart move from Aaron Boone before we know about the contacts, because a ball gets smoked to center field and Trent Grisham is there to run it down. And on a night where Max Fried didn't have his A-plus stuff, he had enough to go 6 2/3. They hand it over to Weavy Wonder and D-Train, and the Yankees win the game and series, and your Casamigos big shot of the night is Jason Dominguez. Embrace the Martian, 888-808-1019, E-Frank in Astoria. Good morning, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Keith. I like what you are talking about here with Juan Soto, but I would just like to put a little bit of input here right now for me, since this is Holy Week for myself. This is Good Tuesday. And I would just like to praise the record of former Yankee manager Joe Girardi. He was a beautiful man, because when I look at certain of the replays of his rantings and going on the mound, challenging umpires on balls and strikes, I wonder what Aaron Boone is thinking that he has lasted this long. Because I want to ask you something, Keith. You know, the pitching staff this year looks very good, and I'm wondering if you think that they have more potential this year with the new pitchers. I don't know how many, it's two of them. I think, is it the same thing as last season, or is the adjustments that Aaron Boone is doing this season going to make the combination for the whole team work? Because I don't understand what Aaron Boone is doing with the pitching this year too well.
Okay, E. Frank. A few things. Without Gerrit Cole, it sucks. Period. Stop. I wish Garrett Cole was here. I wish Garrett Cole was, like, come on. But, you know, they always seem to figure it out, right? They always seem to find guys, and they're leaning on depth. And, you know, there's a few new guys that are in this rotation, right? Marcus Stroman is not available right now, and I think that's for the best. Here comes Clark Schmidt, who was in the rotation last year. Carlos Carrasco, I had nowhere on my radar for this year, but C is for Cookie. That's good enough for me. He's been good enough for me. TW, the will to Warren. Will Warren has willed himself through some games, and you can make an argument that the Yankees should have won every game that he's pitched. Obviously, Max Fried, paying him and giving him that extra year to keep him away from the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. And if you went out there and you paid that $760 million, you probably would not have gone out and got Max Fried. It is looking like a great move to have an ace now without Cole. Obviously, there are still a ton of question marks around Carlos Rodon, but I'm not giving up on him because we can't. It's stupid to give up on a guy that signed for the next 3 years. It's stupid to give up on a guy in April, a guy that won a lot of games last year. And you've seen early on this year he has the stuff. You know, he's just got to keep the ball down, keep the ball in the ballpark, and believe in himself and have a short memory. On to the next pitch, on to the next at bat. And don't let a couple walks or, you know, a strike that gets called a ball make you unravel, overcome everything and rise above. And I think that the Yankees are going to work with him and that he can. I think that this rotation will also get another piece added. Not even just like thinking about Luis Hill coming back in June. I think if there's a starter on the market, whether it is a frontline starter, whether it's depth, like I would like to see another ace type guy, but that might not be available. I think that'll be added. So without Cole, I think they're going to be able to figure it out this year. But it's never the Yankees pitching that dooms us. It seems to always be the hitting. Not scoring enough runs, not coming up clutch, not being able to win games at the plate. I know obviously when you look at this last World Series, that first game will be talked about forever. But like I can't blame Boone or the Yankees for their decision. But it just was a regrettable decision to go to Nestor Cortes, who hadn't pitched, and throw him in that big spot because of, you know, him facing Otani and his record against, you know, whatever. I think that this pitching staff, paired with this deeper lineup, they definitely can get back to the World Series. They definitely can come out of the American League. They might be better suited when they actually get there. Now, when you talk about you don't know what Boone is doing, I don't know if you guys watch every night. I don't know if you guys just hate Aaron Boone. I disagree. Can we give credit where credit is due? In the beginning of the season, you guys wanted to kill the different lineups. They've worked. I think Aaron Boone knows now from this early part of the season when to go to Weaver, when to go to his high leverage relievers. Help is on the way in that regard too, right? You get Ian Hamilton back. Jonathan Loaisiga is coming back. Some point, Kirk Cousins or Scott Efros. You know, there'll be some more depth in the bullpen where, you know, obviously Adam Ottavino was here. He's gone. Tim Hill has been great. Like this, the Yankees pitching is not going to be the issue. And we make a big fuss about Carlos Rodon, but he's got to flip a switch, and I think he can. And the rest of these guys have been solid enough. Am I forgetting someone? Carlos Carrasco, Will Warren. Stroman is out, but here comes Clark Schmidt today now. Good morning, good morning. It is the 16th. I don't know how long Clark Schmidt is going to go in the game, but hey, the bullpen is rested. They'll be fine. The pitching, I'm not worried about. The hitting, I'm not worried about. I'm not worried. As I see people online, you're worried about your own team. I'm not worried, bro. I'm not worried. It's April 16th. They're in first place in a division that, like, I don't fear anybody in the division. I don't fear anybody in the Central, in the West. I fear health. I pray for health. Please let them stay healthy. And when we get closer to the deadline, punch it. And when I mean punch it, like, don't just punch it for a Jazz or a Mark Leiter Jr., man. Yo, Like, if you can stack the deck, punch that ticket, because that's essentially punching your ticket back-to-back World Series. If you stack the deck and you don't know what's going to happen, but, like, when you get back to the World Series, whether it's the Dodgers or the Padres or the Mets or whoever waiting for you, you want to be better equipped for situations where you're not throwing Nestor Cortez, where you're not relying on Tommy Kahnle, where you're not relying on Carlos Rodon to be your number two starter. We shall see. It's so long from now, nobody knows. 888-808-1019. EJ is in East Meadow. What's up, EJ? You got it.
Yeah. K-Mac, it's you know what? It's been a long time coming, but the change is going to come. In reference to me coming around to you, let me just say this, because I've been with the fan for a long time. Shout and props to you. Not only what you're doing for our community, if you know what I mean, and also you really get it. Thank you for tonight for telling the rest of the folks out there, Mets fans, Yankee fans. Put it in context. The guy's 26 years old, Juan Soto. He answered a question that literally nobody on the planet, if they didn't answer it honestly, would not say. It's no slight to Pete. It's not, oh, I regret, you know, taking, you know, luxury boxes or whatever the case is, to go to the Mets or whatever the guy, not to mention we're 10% into the regular season. I mean, less than 10%. So the whole idea that this guy, you know, has some sort of regret, or, you know, the fact what you said, I think you and a caller also, you put it in perfect context, in that the idea that this guy was thinking before the question, how might this look, or am I going to be in a slumping? He's not in a slump anyway, but, you know, slumping or whatever the case is, or how are people going to perceive it? This is part of the reason why athletes don't want to play in New York. Hey, he answered it honestly. We kill him for answering it honestly. We would kill him if he didn't answer it honestly. It's just let him live a little bit.
Yeah,
17 games.
It's why some of these athletes have a translator, because they don't feel comfortable answering the questions. Even if they can speak English with their teammates, they don't feel comfortable talking to the media. You're definitely correct about the added media presence. How many times do we hear, well, in Milwaukee, there's 2-3 beat writers. In New York, there's 20 in the clubhouse, and it gets to be a little much. And then, like, shout out to Mike Puma, because he did an excellent job.
No, he did a great job.
But, like, there are people giving him a bad rap for this.
And, I know.
And he shout out to Lou Goodman, who's tweeting at me right now. He's like, you know, Mike Puma, like, he said Mike Puma was on the Michael Kay show today, and he was clearing up that Juan never said anything about missing Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
It was a baseball question about baseball. The difference between last season. Now, if Soto was 100%. Playing in San Diego and then came to the Mets, he would have answered about, I don't know, hitting in front of Tatis or Machado, right? Like,
exactly.
It's just, we make these things more than they are. With social media now, we're able to see everybody's opinion. Mm-hmm. I am a troll on social media because I don't take any of that serious. So I play into it. But this is a non-story that became a huge story because everybody ran with it.
No, and you know what? What bothers me the most, and this is why I swear, and kudos to your producer. Shout out to Riscona. What's up, Scones? The whole idea that this is some sort of issue because the guy spoke honestly. This is what we beg for in New York, yet we kill them when they talk honestly. We always take stuff out of context. And I love the city, don't get me wrong. It's New York number one. But we got to scale it back a little bit. The guy's, he's 25, 26 years old. I know. I remember when I moved on from like a major company to another company, it literally, it affects you. You automatically think about it. And when asked in context, what Mike Puma did in reference to, the actual question, how could you not say, I mean, I'm a Mets fan. I'm a diehard Mets fan. my Yankee fans are texting me this post this morning. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, of course Judge is the best outside of when Ohtani pitches. Judge is the best. You're going to have these kind of feelings, this, that, and the third. He's not slumping. He's not, he's doing what he's doing. And the numbers you pointed out today, that, you know, the changes and such, those are so tantamount to exactly what people need to understand. He's being approached differently. Let him adjust. Let's see what happens when we're not 10% in a year. Let's see what happens when we're 50% in a year and all the people speak completely different on that radio show, on these radio shows, and on just in just normal media. Like, we got to tone it back, man. And thank you so much, for real. Thank you so much for keeping it 100 and letting people know on both sides, because they're listening, Keith. And I've listened to you. I haven't called you ever. I've been a regular with the fans since Susan opened it up. But you know what? Thank you.
Thank you, EJ. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I was on last night, and when I read the article last night, I'm like, oh, this is nothing. There, I was looking for a quote. I was looking for something to latch on to. There was nothing there. That's why I was surprised when I woke up this morning. I'm like, well, damn. Like, you know, this went from someone striking a match to the whole house being on fire. I didn't know it was going to turn into that. 888-808-1019. And like, I've been pretty open about how, like, I troll on the internet. Elon Musk sent me $60 for all the trolling and all the stuff on Twitter. And I also do that because I know majority, you know how many daily users there are on Twitter? I don't. I know it's a lot. Those people don't listen to my radio show. Those people aren't aware of who I am, but they catch a tweet. So, like, I play that game differently. Let's see. As of 2025, X is estimated to have between 240 and 300 million daily active users. There isn't even, I don't think there's 2.4 to 3 million people that could potentially listen to this show. So my approach on the show is not like my approach online. Online, I woke up today, I put out a couple troll tweets. I'm like, yeah, Juan Soto lost his aura. He lost all the vibes. He's with the Mets. He's second guessing it now. They better call Grimace back. They better get Candelita back. Up. The difference between the $5 million and the contracts, like, perfect example. The tweet that I had, and at Keith_McPherson, the tweet that I had that boomed a bit today, I said, $760 million to hit in front of the best hitter on the planet, or $765 million with unlimited shopping sprees for Mama's Closet. Got to think about this one. If you've listened to me on the radio, I told you, the value of those contracts, the difference is not $5 million. And anyone that tells you that the difference was just $5 million, they're incorrect. You have to add in all of the incentives, all of the bonuses, all of the perks that he got. That has value. I'm sure Major League Baseball and the Players Association, they're considering all of that. Like, you know, that's not off the books completely. Like, that falls into what he got. And, you know, I don't need to troll on air all the time. Like I said, once we get into the season, we have actual stuff to talk about. That's why I said he's heating up now. Back-to-back nights with a homer. Maybe this is what he needed. And he's doing that out in cold Minnesota. Right? I also went to MLB Network, and I'm like, let me clip this and let me have this in the notes before we get back to the calls and talk to the rest of the Yankee fans that were at the game and the Mets fans that watched Francisco Lindor strike out to end the game. The percentage of pitches that he's seeing in the zone in a three-ball count, when he was with the Yankees, that number was 53.3. So far with the Mets, 28. They will let him take his base. They will walk him. They were less inclined to do that with the most prolific home run hitter in the game coming up behind him, knowing, hey, if you do that, it's 2-0 fast, or it's two more runs that quick. Juan Soto is a baseball robot. He is a hitting cyborg. He is a machine. And when you're talking baseball with him, You think he hadn't already processed the fact? He didn't process what would happen. And I don't think he knows. He is closer to 25 than 26. He turned 26 that Friday in the World Series. I don't think he really grasps yet, and he will. This is all a part of learning. I don't think he really grasps how diehard Mets fans are and Yankee fans are and what he means in the rivalry, in the back and forth. I don't think for a second he's talking to Mike Puma thinking, I got to lie. I got to say, oh, it's just the weather. Oh, it's just these new cleats that I got. Oh, it's this bat. I don't have a torpedo bat. You know, he said it so matter-of-factly that I was hitting in front of the best hitter in the game. They're attacking me differently. He's adjusting to it. And it seems like since everybody has heard him say that, he's adjusting, and now he's getting pitches to hit, and he ain't missing them. He was missing them in the beginning of the season. It's still the beginning of the season. We got a long way to go. 888-808-1019. Al is in Maho Pack on the Fan in New York. Go for it, Al.
Keith, thank you very much. You shed more light than anybody. How can you be so young and have so much wisdom? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. I don't think it's that deep. I've thought about it today as I heard everybody, you know, it seemed like some Mets fans complaining about it, whining about it, some Yankee fans running around parading about it. And I'm like, this is not that.
There's a saying when I grew up, Chicken Little, sky's falling. Okay, you can look it up, whatever, doesn't matter. But two things I want to tell you. My son played on a team. Guess what the coach always said? Where's the play? Nobody says that. You know why? They're supposed to know where the play is. No. Put you on the field. You get these guys together. They play the first time. Where's the play? That's it. Where's the play?
Mm-hmm.
And that one thing about Chaz, he went from third base to where he is now, playing as a teammate, not an individual person. And Judge is doing what he has to do. He's captain. Captain does what he needs to be done. And as far as all the media, they can do whatever they want. But my niece, right?
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Hit a home run. He did hit a home run that night. But we're so lucky because we see him every day. And people have to understand, it's not them. It's running the team. Everybody's a Monday morning quarterback. And I'll tell you one thing. You learn from the experience is what happens. Now, I see the bullpen doesn't want everybody warming up. Okay, what about the guy that's back up to the next guy the next day? Why don't you just send him out there? Just have somebody ready. What if there's something happens to the guy and drops dead? You get as much time as you want to warm up, but what about having that guy just warm up? It throws everybody off. Who's warming up? Why they got such bullpen working? I don't know much about baseball. All I know is I see what I like, and I like what you do. Keep up the good work, my brother.
Thanks for the call, Al. 888-808-1019. I was bringing that around. I had to dump part of it. But yeah, I don't know. the team, fundamental baseball. I think the Yankees are getting back to being more about the team. We're hearing less about the beards. I saw Clark Schmidt wearing a little bit of a beard. Jason Dominguez was the player of the game tonight. He had a beard. I think people are starting to cool off on that. What you said about Judge, like, we do see this guy every day and take him for granted, so much so that people are like, oh, Judge is slumping now because he's not homering. People are mad that he's not hitting homers. He's hitting singles. His average is still up. He's going to get hot where he has multi-homer games. he's going to get hot where he hits a homer a day. Like, as I go to the stats, there are a couple guys that were tied at six. Now there's a bunch. I mean, Jazz has the same amount of home runs as Judge. Corbin Carroll is there now. Tommy Edman is there now. Wilmer Flores, okay. Tyler Soderstrom from the Athletics just separated himself. He hit two bombs tonight. But if I go to average, Judge is third in average in the league. So he's tied second in homers. And then if I go to his RBI, he's second in RBI. And he's third in batting average. Oh, we don't care about average. Sure you do. He's still getting on. And he's not swinging for the fences. 888-808-1019. Speaking of swinging for the fences, I was incorrect. I always think about that Juan Soto game where when the Yankees went to the south side of Chicago, I think they lost like 12-2 that first game to the White Sox. And it was almost like inevitable. Like the White Sox were so bad, I just knew the Yankees were going to fail. And Juan Soto didn't do anything in that first game. But that was such a example for Mets fans to look at what Juan Soto is. He didn't do anything in that game. The Yankees lost. They got embarrassed. The next game he comes back, he hits three homers. So I keep citing that as the game that he talked about homering in every ballpark. That's incorrect. My good friend Brian Hoke happened to be listening to the show driving home, and he said, hey, I asked that question, right, about Soto homering in all 30 ballparks. It was T-Mobile Ballpark in Seattle. I remember it was, he needed to homer in Globe Life Park, he needed to homer in Guaranteed Rate Field, and he needed to homer in T-Mobile Ballpark, but for some reason, I think I was skipping Seattle. And shout out to Hoke, who said it was Seattle in September, and that's when all Yankee fans and the reporters included are thinking about the postseason. And Juan Soto's quote was, what a best way to go into free agency, homer in all 30 ballparks. And we're like, bro, what? Nobody's asking you about your free agency. Nobody's asking you about that as like a, and like I said earlier, I don't think anyone talked about that. In all of the conversations we had and interviews we had, no one was like, well, you know, this mystery team is in the mix because they really like that Juan Soto has hit a homer in every major league ballpark. It wasn't a thing, but it was something to Juan Soto as a baseball guy, as a baseball robot, as a cyborg that is just so, you know, programmed to the mission of beep, boop, beep, must homer in all 30 ballparks. Once achieved, celebrate it, tell world. He told everybody about that and nobody asked for that. And like, that is what I'm bringing back to this. A reporter asked him about the difference between this year and last year. He said nothing about the pinstripes. He said nothing about Yankee fans versus Mets fans traveling to games. He talked about the most matter-of-fact thing, the protection in the lineup. And it's not a slight to Pete Alonso, who has been magnificent since he's been paid. He's been great. He's been so clutch, and you can't say a bad word about him, and I don't think he is. He talked about the just baseball of it, and we have now turned it into he misses Aaron Judge. He should have never left the Yankees. He just ran and took the money. Mets fans are tired of hearing about it. He better produce. He better shut up about the Yankees. Steve Cohen should call him. And you got to love it. You got to absolutely love baseball in New York. The Yankees and the Mets are in first place. I had multiple people crying to me in my comments and in my mentions all day. And I was like, I didn't even expect these tears. What are you crying about? Your team is good. And you don't even have your starting catcher. You don't even have two of your starters. You don't even have your full complement of guys. Like McNeil is coming back. You have arms coming back. What are Mets fans crying about? Because Juan Soto told the truth? Juan Soto's going to learn. Juan Soto's going to learn the truth. We don't need the truth, bro. And don't be surprised if he's shorter with the media now. And I hope not. I hope he doesn't treat Mike Puma any kind of way. But what if his answers get extremely short now and he doesn't give you the depth of an answer about things that are 100% true? Like I gave you the numbers that MLB Network produced. Yeah, he's not lying. He's not programmed to lie. He's going to tell you the truth, especially when he's talking about the game and how he approaches the game. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We're going to keep it baseball for the next half hour. When we get into the 1 o'clock hour, I'll mix in some football conversation, maybe some Knicks conversation. If you're on hold, stay on hold. I promise I'm going to get to you. Yankee fans, there's still some more things to talk about in the Yankee universe with this game and the game coming up tomorrow. So, you know, we'll also hit the out-of-town scoreboard. We'll look at the final scores in Major League Baseball and some of the news and notes coming from around the league. And then we'll get ready for Game 3 of the Mets and the Twins series, Game 3 of the Royals and the Yankees series. Okay, KM to AM returns right after this.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Well, in the end, it's the Knicks that land Carmelo Anthony from Denver. And Amari Stoudemire happy that he's on hand. Stoudemire, addressing the media today, says the team will be hard to guard now, likes the idea of having that 1-2 punch.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All I ask of all y'all is to please embrace the Martian, embrace the Martian. I come to peace while I need y'all rocking with me. Please embrace the Martian, and this is how it sounds.
Shout out to Kid Cudi. I can tell my Kid Cudi story. So when I was in the MLB Fan Cave 2014, somebody in Reddit is about to write, oh, my God, we get it. You worked for MLB. Well, like, if I didn't work at MLB, I wouldn't be here. Like, I worked for MLB in the Fan Cave. And during that experiment, there was a New Era store right across the street. And since they locked us in there from first pitch to last out every day in Major League Baseball, we saw a lot through those windows. They set it up like a fish tank. Like, there were floor-to-ceiling windows you could always see in to the place, we could always see out of the place. And one night before New Era released their Kid Cudi specific hat for Kid Cudi, there was a line of probably 30 to 40 kids outside late at night, like, you know, 12 a.m. people were lined up. Maybe it gets to 1 a.m. and a black Escalade rolls up, and out of the sunroof pops Scott Mescudi, Kid Cudi, and he's got two boxes of pizza, and he starts feeding the kids waiting in line. He starts handing them slices of pizza, climbs out of the top, and is just chopping it up with these kids. He's clearly, like, probably coming from a club or a performance or a show, but I just thought that was so cool. I was a fan. I still am a fan. I thought that was so cool that, like, he could have been anywhere in New York City. He could have went to the hotel. He might have had some chicks lined up. He could have done it. He's like, yo, let's go get some pizza. And let's go bless these people that are waiting for my, you know, hat opening when the store, my hat launch when the store opens the next day. So the next day, story continues, I'm about to go into the Fan Cave. I think the first pitch is like 12:35 and the store opens at 12. So I'm just out there standing in the street, and now it's massive. Now there's probably like 200 people in line outside the New Era store. And who comes in? Not now in an Escalade, but on a bicycle. I have the videos on my Instagram, but you'd have to scroll back 11 years to find them. Kid Cudi comes through on that street in a bike. I got a video because I'm standing in the street. He comes in on a bike and just, like, runs into the store. I was like, this is like a movie. This was so sick. So shout out to Kid Cudi, Embrace the Martian, Jason Dominguez, the Martian. I've been saying this from the jump. I wasn't killing him. I remember I was on, I think it was like a Wednesday, and I had a little two-hour show, like a bridge show, where I was like, okay, I'm going to talk about this now, and we're not going to talk about this again. Why can't Jason Dominguez play center field? Why can't Trent Grisham play left field? This is why I'm a fan and a radio host, and I'm not the GM or manager of the New York Yankees. Trent Grisham is the center fielder. He's the best center fielder on the team. Jason Dominguez is a center fielder, has played center fielder coming up, but he is now a left fielder, and they gave him the opportunity to continue to get reps. And with more reps, we've seen him become a better player, a better fielder. Like, we have just seen him take on the challenge of being better at the position, and he hasn't had a mistake yet, and he will potentially have a mistake. I remember in that first weekend, he caught that ball, and it was like a snow cone, and people were like, see? Man, this kid is going to hit. He's a switch hitter. He's young. The stage is not too big for him. He makes the lineup deeper. It's good to have him. And I know some of us talked coming off of Juan Soto last year about how good it would be for Dominguez to be around Juan Soto, his fellow countryman, De Lo Mio. And now he is the young Dominican outfielder that you can still show up and bring your Dominican flags to. And Juan Soto's over there. And good. Let Jason Dominguez become a star. They put his locker right next to Belly and Judge, two guys that won Rookie of the Year, guys that he can learn from. And I'm just really pleased with, you know, how he has handled everything as a 22-year-old that is, you know, kind of getting the Volpe run, right? Yo, you're here. We're not sending you down. You're going to play. Maybe you don't start every day. Maybe you don't finish every game, but we're going to rely on you. And we expect you to contribute offensively and defensively. And let's see it. Patience. And I think you're going to get more good than bad. Same thing with Volpe and Wells and Cabrera and Peraza and Heal and Warren and these young Yankees. I've been coming up with names for them. They're not the Baby Bombers 2.0. They're the Yankee youngsters. They're the NYY Young Boys. Eli is out in Rockland County on the Fan. Go for it, Eli.
Hey, Keith, first-time caller.
Thanks.
First of all, happy birthday to Jackson.
Thank you. He's still, like, you know, playing with the balloons and his new toys and still saying birthday yep. party. Yep.
It's actually a two-year anniversary of me starting to listen to the Fan and your show, which, by the way, is a great show. Love it.
Awesome.
Been listening
Thank you.
For 2 years. Jason Dominguez is going to be the biggest X factor of the Yankees this year. If he could play at this level for the next couple of months, he could turn the Yankees lineup into probably the best lineup in baseball, even better than the Mets, or even compete with the Dodgers. So if he could play at this level and Max Fried could play at his level he pitched today, they'll be in it for the World Series with the Dodgers and definitely win the AL.
Yeah, I just think he extends the lineup. Thanks for the call, Eli. We didn't have him last year. They were kind of late in bringing him up, but whatever. Again, the Yankees know more than me. I was saying, hey, do they not see Dominguez? Like, he's ready. He was hurt, but they had Verdugo. They die hard on their trades and contracts. They were going all the way with Verdugo, and Dominguez didn't play a part in the postseason run, but he got to watch. And we've seen some Yankees get to watch, like Jeter. You know, it's you can get mental reps, and you can take from experiences of watching others, and I think he has. And, you know, in his last seven games, he's got 6 hits, 5 ribbies, 3 walks. He's hitting .273. His on-base percentage is .360. And I'm cool with what I'm getting out of Jason Dominguez. He's not failing. He's not, like, I know people wanted to jump on him. He's not giving you a reason to be like, this guy doesn't belong, or, you know, he's not living up to the hype, or why's he got a nickname? Like, good. He's hitting from both sides of the plate, right? He extends this lineup, having him lower in the lineup, right? I remember saying I didn't want him to lead off. First spring training game, he was leading off. I'm like, don't put that on him. But you know what? Wow. As I'm naming all these young Yankees, did I forget Ben Rice? I think I did. Ben Rice, and as it just comes back around, right? Ben Rice is the leadoff hitter. Ben Rice is a young guy that's getting that opportunity, and I know tonight he didn't have a big night tonight, but I'm not holding it against Ben Rice. Baseball is a humbling sport. You're gonna fail. You're gonna struggle at some point, but this is a team. They're a deeper team, and Jason Dominguez out in left field, and even coming out for defensive replacement. So far, the formula is good. Leave him down there low in the lineup. He's got speed. He's got a good eye at the plate. And, man, if he really can get some of the power numbers going, hitting homers, hitting doubles, like, it extends this lineup. It makes the Yankees just that much more better. Mike in Columbus on the Fan. Go for it, Michael.
Hi, Keith. It's good to talk to you again. It was great meeting you on opening day. Fortunately, I was able to listen to this game on the radio while I was traveling all over Midtown and then on a train to the Trenton area to my grandma's for Passover week. But I was at Monday night's game, so I was certainly able to follow that one a little more closely than this last game. Also, we both lucked out so far with the weather and the games, the two of us. I was at the first two of the season, and then Monday night, I'm certainly not complaining about my luck with all of that. I'm also glad you mentioned on Monday night the nighttime theatrics at the stadium. That was also my first time seeing all that on Monday, so that was a pleasant surprise. And then one more thing before I just make a few quick Yankee comments and leave you with a question. Even though I couldn't be there for Jackie Robinson Day, it was really meaningful that I did get to go to his monument in Monument Park on Monday night. So I was very thankful that I had that opportunity. As for the Yankees, it was really great winning the series. That's always a nice thing, of course. We've had some games now where I think you can kind of see how timely offense and good pitching could be the recipe, which seems to kind of be what the plan was after losing Soto and getting more pitchers. It's been great seeing the young guys play. I mean, how about Dominguez this series? And that was a lot of fun to watch Monday night in person. I do hope that the ghosts of the recent past don't become issues, though, like giving up runs with two outs and or two strikes, offensive struggles, against starting pitching, having to rely on the bullpen and late offense a little too much, issues with runners in scoring position. But the team is still more or less, for what I kind of realistically hope so far. I do get a little antsy about maybe falling behind in the standings while we wait for arms to heal and limber. So I'll gladly take these wins right now, especially with matchups like the one I had on Monday night that wasn't very good on paper for the Yankees. So I'll just leave you with this question, especially this early in the season, where, you know, it's kind of hard to know what to like look for, what to have like a good thing to talk about that isn't just kind of nonsense. What trends are you looking for over the course of an entire season as a season plays out? And thanks a lot, Keith. Have a good night.
Thanks for the call, Michael. I'm trying to go backwards a little bit. That was a lot. What trends am I looking for, man? I just want them defensively to be solid, no matter who's on the mound. I want them to get reps and, you know, not have errors and mental lapses and just push us further away from the scouting report that the Dodgers had that they ran and told everybody about Yankee baseball and Yankee defense. Like, I just want them to, you know, tighten this thing up where it's like, hey, we get the outs that we're supposed to get and we don't give them extra chances. And then, you know, better at bats, working the count, not everybody swinging for the fences, everyone not trying to be the hero. And like, you know, watching the guy in front of you. Watching the guy in front of you is so important. Like, I hate when I'm watching any baseball game and the guy's missing the strike zone and then the next guy, like Ben Rice tonight had an at-bat where I'm like, bro, this guy is not throwing strikes. Just watch, like, you know, don't chase. This guy is not throwing strikes. If you just hold, he's going to give it to you. And, you know, with the Yankees, they will get some help back. They will get a couple arms back. They'll get Stanton back. And, like, there might be a problem where we're looking at this team and there's not enough room in the lineup. And those are good problems to have. And then they can really address where they want to stack the deck at the deadline. You know, you mentioned the nighttime theatrics at the stadium. Yeah, Monday night was my first time being there at night. You know, I love when they do the like TV cutout when they're going, when the other team's going to the bullpen and they black out the stadium and then it looks like the, you know, like the TV, like if you lose cable, I don't know how to put it into words, where it's like the rainbow of strips and then it just gets everybody's attention. Luke Weaver. And it's funny because I had a clip, and shout out to Gallo who clipped the clip, where when the Mets announced their five-borough race, I just leaned into, like, these guys got every freaking gimmick. They've got a five-borough race. They've got a Mets house. They've got a Mazin Day. Show up and the first 15,000 people get a Juan Soto pin. And they're doing this and they're doing that. And like the Yankees don't got to do all that. The Yankees just got to be the Yankees because their brand is built. They don't need to rebrand. They're going to sell out. And as they are, like we're pulling in over 40,000 to see the Royals in mid-April. It ain't hot yet. And there's, you know, 42,000 fans showing up on a Monday night followed by 43,000 fans. But I say that to say this. There, you know, I was wondering why my Luke Weaver tweet from, you know, two nights ago at the stadium was getting some traction. I'm like, oh, it's got to be these Mets fans that are always, you know, tailing my tweets. And yeah, they tried to flip my, and that's been the whole thing. Any takes that I have, there are some Mets fans that try to flip them online on me. And I'm like, yo, first night game, first time seeing the Star Wars theme entrance for Luke Weaver, where like, you know, they play the Star Wars music and they've got the Star Wars font and it says Luke Weaver. And then when he gets two strikes, they do the Darth Vader breathing. So there's a bunch of Mets fans like, is this not a gimmick? Didn't you make fun of the LED lights at Citi Field? I'm like, yeah, but that's different. That's different. Isn't this a gimmick? this isn't as nice as Edwin Diaz's entrance. Well, Edwin Diaz is not as nice as Luke Weaver. It's different, bro. It's different. What y'all do over there, different than what we do over here. It's not a gimmick. You know, they do the Star Wars Luke Weaver entrance, and then they play Dream Weaver when he gets on the mound. That was my first time seeing it this year. It looked cool. Way better than what they try to do for Clay Holmes. I haven't caught Devin Williams' entrance yet or entrance music yet. I was there on opening day. Last night I left, and I said jokingly, but I wasn't really joking. I'm like, I was with my sister. I had to drop my sister off at the hotel. I had to get to WFAN. We left at the bottom of the eighth, and I was like, maybe I don't want to be in here just in case, like, Devin Williams actually blows it. Like, I got it timed up pretty good to get from the stadium to WFAN, and the whole time I'm in there, I'm listening to Mets radio, I'm taking notes, I'm putting together my run of show. But I got out of there, and I listened to BT today. He's like, that stadium was ready to boo him. I'm like, I wish that wasn't our energy. Better energy tonight as we talk more about the Yankee game. You know, better energy tonight with Devin Williams and a better performance out of Devin Williams tonight. The energy tonight was more willing them to victory, finish this. The energy tonight was more like, okay, are you in your rhythm? We're rolling with you. We got you. 1-2-3 inning. This is what it's supposed to look like. Well done. And when I look at the rest of this Yankees lineup, right, Belly coming back. Belly, I'm waiting for Belly to get going like he got going in the spring, but we kind of give him some grace because he was sick and he's got the back issue. Goldschmidt, a rare night for Goldschmidt, not getting a hit in his average dropping from like 367 to 349. Not a big problem. You know, guys work their walks in the middle, you know, close to the bottom of that order. Jazz, Volpe, Wells with walks, Volpe with a knock. Jason Dominguez, star of the show, obviously, but Trent Grisham gets in there, and I'm not worried about Trent Grisham. The more at-bats he's gotten, the better he's been. And there's been a lot of talk about Peraza. Obviously, Peraza goes 0 for 4 with 2 Ks, and what I'm saying, I will say again, you're going to see him. You're going to see Peraza with Michael Wacha on the mound, and you're going to see Peraza just in general because he's theirs. He's their guy. They weren't looking to drop him. They weren't looking to trade him. They're looking to give him an opportunity to play with Cabrera, and I don't think it's necessarily a slight against Cabrera. I think it's just a move, right? Cabrera can play multiple positions. You have him on the bench in case of an emergency or, you know, I don't think that they're looking at Oswaldo Cabrera as, all right, you're the everyday third baseman of this team right now, and I think that might lead them to upgrading third base at the trade deadline. And so be it. 888-808-1019. I mean, I think I've hit the Yankee stuff. And really, with the Mets game, you know, all I said about the Mets was basically like, the bullpen's not going to hold forever. The rotation's not going to hold forever. And so Tyler McGill gets hit around a little bit tonight. And he's a victim of, you know, some soft contact. Some singles and guys just being on base and then an error, and then that's a tough outing. And then Max Kranich gets rocked, gives up one. He's been great. It is what it is. But ultimately, like, you know, the Twins bounce back and they score 6 runs. And a familiar face in Harrison Bader is active tonight. And guys started putting bat to ball. Their catcher had 3 hits, Jeffers. Byron Buxton, who struck out a bunch of times and was 0 for the night before, he puts together 2 hits. Former Met Carlos Correa has a hit, has an RBI. So it's baseball, man. Even though the Twins are 6-12 in fourth place, they've got some guys over there that can play. And if you give them an opportunity, they see some opportunities. It's just tough to lose on a night where Alonso starts the scoring off for you in the first inning. He homers. With all of the talk around, you know, Juan Soto and Judge and Pete in that article. And then Juan Soto shows himself in that fourth inning after you give up those 2 runs in the third. Juan Soto's like, have no fear. Here we go. We're going to tie the game. And then, you know, the Twins are able to tack on 1 run over the next 4 innings. And then the Mets are only able to add a sac fly. They rally in the ninth, and it's tough in the ninth to watch Lindor chase a pitch and go down swinging. And like I said, I think Lindor was trying to make up for the error. I think Lindor has been the hero so many times. I know there's a lot of you saying, hey, Juan Soto is coming up next. Francisco Lindor is thinking he can get it done, and he doesn't get it done. I think he struck out on a 102-mile-an-hour pitch. And okay, so the series is split, and you live to fight the next day. And now looking at the out-of-town scoreboard before we do that in the 1 o'clock hour, and then I open it up to some more conversation outside of Major League Baseball. You know, the Yankees are set up here to sweep, and the Yankees will send Clark Schmidt out on the mound for his first outing of 2025, and he will face Chris Bubich, and I think you got to broom them. I think you got to broom these guys because you lost the series to the Giants at home. So right now you have 3 wins and 2 losses this homestand. You need to go back on the road 4-2, and you're heading down to George M. Steinbrenner Field. So you're going to your home away from home. I need the Yankees to come through and go ahead and sweep. The Mets tomorrow, it says TBD for who their starting pitcher will be. I'm like, who should that be? In the, like Griffin Canning? Or is it TBD because they, you know, because... I don't know, Fleeks, do you know who's in line to start for the Mets tomorrow?
So Griffin Canning is not pitching because he's sick. They hope to have him pitch on Friday where they were originally going to slot an extra starter in. Tomorrow they called up Justin Hagenman from the minors. Okay. He'll either start or they'll use an opener. He'll be the bulk guy in relief. He was the guy who was in line to pitch for Syracuse.
Got it. Canning is sick, so you got to call up a young guy, and he will face off against David Festa. And the bats got to get active, and you got to outscore them and see what David Festa has. David Festa has a 0 ERA. As I'm pulling up his stuff, I'm like, okay, in the last 7 games, he's got 4.2 innings pitched, 3 hits, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts, so not much on him. Attack him. You have some of the best hitters in the game. And as I look at his stuff, he's from Verona, New Jersey. Went to Seton Hall. Interesting. I wonder if Frank the Tank has ever heard of this guy. I'm sure he'll be rooting for him to lose. All right, 888-808-1019. If you're on hold, stay on hold. This last hour, we will talk a little bit of the NFL draft. More on Shador and Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter and who are the Giants going to take. And yeah, it is getting close now. It is getting really close now to finding out who the next Jets and Giants will be. So we'll do that, but we'll also do the out-of-town scoreboard. Over the course of the break, I'll put together some stories for Major League Baseball, and we'll check the standings, and we'll also check the scores just so we can close the book on that. I think all the games are done now. I was waiting for that Dodgers game to go final, and I believe it has. No, it has not. Top of the ninth now. We'll get there. Either way, 1 hour to go. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call me up at 888-808-1019. KM to AM returns right after this.